What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
Footy Footy.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
Footy Footy.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
Footy Footy.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
And one. Lots of opinions. Lots of opinions on social media and in all things Canada soccer world the last couple of days after Jesse Marsh announced that Alphonso Davies will be captain Canada moving forward. It was obviously between himself and Stephen Estacchio. Both of them took the armband for the warm-ups to Copa, which, by the way, kicks off on Thursday night. Pretty excited about that. But yeah, lots of opinions from people that have never stepped foot in an international locker room, including myself. I'll hold my hand up. I had an opinion. So I thought, what a great opportunity to hear from people that have actually captained Canada in the past. There's an idea, huh? Some credibility, maybe? Amy Walsh, Craig Forrest, Jimmy Brennan, Dan Wong, who we know for numerous caps, wore that armband with pride.
I did.
You did. I wore the armband once when I was in the Boy Scouts. That's about as far as I got as being a captain. But okay, let's get to it. Dubs, let's start with you. So Fonzi is captain moving forward. When you first heard that, were you surprised? Do you even care? Is it a big deal? Is it the right choice? Your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts were, I think it's too soon, not for Alphonso Davies to be named captain, but for Jesse Marsh to name a captain. What is the hurry here? That was my kind of knee-jerk reaction. I think that given the exodus of players who have been leaders on this team, of veterans that have been part of that leadership group, Danielle Henry was part of that, Stephen Vitoria, Milan Borjan, I think you need time to let players emerge. And yes, Alphonso Davies is, not even debated face of this team, best player on this team, worldwide recognition. I don't know if that's the player that you give the armband to just because he's the best player. Obviously there are things going on behind the scenes. I think he's been challenged by Jesse Marsh to kind of rise to the occasion, develop his leadership skills, been asked to define what being a Canadian means to him. But I think maybe you give these players time, Stephanie Stacchio as well, and maybe other players who are part of this quote unquote leadership council, as dubbed by Jesse Marsh. And I want to put to you guys, do you think that it would be less celebrated if it was a leadership conclave or a leadership gang? Do you think that leadership council makes it sound very fancy?
Can you please define conclave, please? Isn't that like something you get in your throat? Like a ball of phlegm is a conclave?
No, it's like a synonym, right? An assembly, a board, a cabinet, right? Or a leadership chamber.
What's wrong with group? Funny. What's wrong with just leadership group? Where's right? Group used anymore? That's what they are.
It is. Group. A group is used.
Yeah.
It is used.
Dubs was being fancy.
I wasn't being fancy. I was quoting Jesse Marsh. He calls it the leadership council.
Hmm. Sounds like something from Game of Thrones, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does.
Who are the little birds in that room, I wonder? Ratting out the leadership. All right. back to the topic at hand, though. But Dubs, you made good points there. Craig, what are your thoughts? Do they need to name a captain? I mean, listen, it's Copa America. All eyes are on this team within Canada the next week, 2 weeks, who knows, 3 weeks. The World Cup's around the corner. Do they need to establish that person, that brand, dare I say it now? Or is it purely about football at this point? Was it too soon, though?
A lot's been made of it. I mean, you often see that the best players are given captaincies, like internationally. You know, is it an honorary role almost? Are they? And then from Jesse Marsh's point of view, he's looking for a reaction from Alfonso as well, what he can do. But it's about club captains are a little bit different, and they're even changing a little bit, because gone are the days where players stay at a club for 10, 15 years. You don't see that very often. So you get somebody who's a captain for years on end, where the fans love this player, the players really look up to them, all this sort of thing. It's sort of changed. Now, internationally, even if you look at England, who has been the captains? Guys like Shearer, Adams, Beckham, Rooney, Kane, Gerrard. These type of guys, I mean, are they necessarily the best leaders in the room? Not necessarily. I mean, Ange at Tottenham talked about when Son was gone and the importance of him being the captain, but it's not so much what he does just on the field as what he does off it. It's the deeds. It's the events. It's what you do and how you hold yourself, which is really, really important. But who is actually captain, he said, is not really important to me. It's what happens with the rest of the group.
Well, Jimmy, okay, tell me then, Canada captain, like, what are the intangibles with this job? I'm sure it's changed over the years. But if you're Alfonso Davies, you've got the armband. Yeah, okay, so you're the conduit, another C word there, to the coach and the players on the pitch, presumably, although I don't know why it's got to be just one player. But beyond that, what are the responsibilities?
Well, first of all, I think as a manager, when you're picking the captain, you don't just, you know, draw a name out of a hat and pick a player. This is discussed with the staff. You analyze the players and see which players have a natural leadership role in the dressing room as well. Who gets along with the players? Who's got a presence around the players? Who handles themselves professionally? And then you start to narrow down who you want to be the captain of the group. So obviously, they've looked at it and thought, Fonzie's a guy that's well-respected. He probably gets along with all the players. The players look up to him. He's there to help. And that's why they probably selected him. And the role that he has to play now is, yeah, you've got to lead this country, but you're also that middleman between the staff and the players. And so if the players need anything, or maybe some players are a little bit heavy, they need a little bit less of a training session, maybe they need to be pushed a little bit, you're that voice that goes back and forth between the staff. You have that relationship with the coaches. And you've also got the respect of the players, where the players can confide in you and they can come and talk to you and say, hey, listen, this is what's going on. This is how I'm feeling. And he's the voice of the dressing room. So it is quite a big role, where you just have that natural bond with the coaches and the players. But behind the scenes, the coaches would have looked at this and thought, this is the right guy. Now, on the pitch, it's different. Everybody's got to step up. You don't rely on one guy. The captain's not there to take control of a game. He's playing a role. He's one of the 11 that's got to get a job done. So going back to what Stax is saying, where, you know, on the pitch, it doesn't matter about the captain. The captain normally is a guy where the referee will come up to and say, hey, listen, get a hold of him, talk to this player, or if something goes on, the captain goes up and speaks to the player or the referee. But other than that, look, it's every single player that steps on that pitch, when that whistle blows, is their own captain in their own way. And they show their own leadership skills. But off the pitch, the captain has to play a certain role.
And I just wanted to say, like, my original point about allowing this to breathe a little bit and waiting for the true leader to emerge. I think you also have to acknowledge that there are different ways to lead. There's no one blueprint, even though the roles and responsibilities that Jimmy pointed out, can sometimes lend the role a certain heaviness. And I think you saw it in those two friendlies. I think we talked about it in a previous pod. With Davies, it looked like to me that the responsibility of being the best player on this team when he plays for Canada is already heavy. And I think adding the armband to that, I thought muted his performance. I thought that it looked like he was shackled almost. Whereas with Eustachio in the game against France, he had the benefit of everybody playing better around him. But I thought that the armband served to elevate his performance. So you see, I think you give these players time to see how they do with shouldering this additional responsibility. And then seeing if it is that extra element, that special thing that sparks a next level when they represent their national team. I think that that's really, really important.
Well, let me hear you guys. When you were given that armband, be it a club level or international level, did it raise your game? Did you, once that whistle went, when it's across those white lines, did you play any differently? Did you feel differently having that responsibility?
No. I mean, speaking from a goalkeeper's point of view, it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm going out there every single game to do my job and do it well and make sure that I don't let my teammates down.
Yeah.
Regardless of the captain's armband. And plus, flipping the coin and all that kind of stuff before the game as a goalkeeper. I want to be in the net warming up, doing my last little bits of training just to get myself ready for the game.
But I also think it's like what you're saying, Jimmy, that it's not just the coach, it's not just the leadership group, it's the entire staff and how that player interacts with everybody. But it's also how important is it to that player? Like for Alphonso Davies, like having the notoriety that's associated with the armband is maybe very, very important to him. And in order for Marsh to lift him up and for him to find success, that has to be recognized. It has to be legitimized. Whereas maybe for Stephen Eustachio, maybe he's the more natural leader, but it's not as important to him. He doesn't need that to be acknowledged, that he will be the same leader regardless of whether he wears the armband or not. But for Fonzie, I'm not saying he has to be coddled, but that is a certain, it gives him that extra little push to be kind of the player that he wants to be and that Marsh wants him to be when he steps onto the pitch for Canada.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah, well, our good friend Hercules Gomez put out a tweet saying this just screams new manager gives the best player the armband to appease him, essentially, right? And Herc got hammered for that, Jimmy. But did you see that being the case, though? I mean, could that be the case? Dubs has mentioned it. Is it a case of, listen, let's just get Fonzie happy. Hey, listen, we love Fonzie, but he's got an ego, right? He must feel pretty good being Canada captain. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Is that a case of the look, that's, let's make our best player happy here.
No, that's just speculation. Don't get me wrong. There's a process that goes on behind the scenes to pick the captain. You don't just walk in a dressing room and say, "Hey, here, you're going to take it because you're the best player in the team." Right? There is a process. And like I said before, they'll go through it all. They'll talk to other players. And sometimes when you have that leadership role too, or that group, that council, then they all end up having conversations. So Jesse Marsh might go talk to one of the older players and say, "Hey, listen, you know, I'm thinking probably Fonzie's going to be the captain. And oh, that's a great idea." Yeah. And so he'll do his homework as well behind the scenes and just talking to individuals. But look, I remember when I was captain at Toronto FC, yeah, I had a certain role that I had to play, but I was in the dressing room with experienced players who were captains in their own right with Carl Robinson, Danny Dicchio, Amado Guevara. Like, these are guys that were leaders, that are captains themselves. You know, I just had to play a little role within that team. But did it change my game or anything? No, not at all. It was just I had a few more responsibilities within the group to make sure that everything was running right and the ship was steering in the right direction.
Does Fonzie have that, Craig? Sorry, Craig. Does Fonzie have that support to fall back on? Obviously, Eustachio, as mentioned, yeah, a captain for sure. But it's a relatively young team. Well, not everyone's playing at the top level of football. Is he going to find that difficult, not having perhaps enough support behind him?
I don't think he'll find it difficult. I think Dubs is right as far as, like, maybe it's important to him. He had the odd player that was important too. Like, with our team, Jason DeVos, he wanted to be the captain. He picketed for it, for Christ's sake, even.
Yeah, but he asked Holder to be captain when you were captain. He wasn't given the captain's armband. He asked for it.
Yeah, and Holder asked, I couldn't give two shits.
So when did you find that out, Craig? When did you find out that you had the armband for a number of games under Holger?
Yeah.
And Jason wanted it, went to the gaffer. How did you discover that?
Holger talked to me, and he said, Jason really wants it. And I'm like, give it to him.
did Jason talk to you?
No.
No.
But that upset the dressing room, because Stax was always the captain. He was the leader in the dressing room. So when Jason asked for it and we found out after, it caused problems. We're like, why is he getting the armband?
Mm.
And Forrest, being the way that he is, he's quite chilled and just went, you know what, fuck it. If he's desperate for it, give it to him.
So yeah, to me, really, that's a sign of a better leader, or it's a different leader, and somebody who's going to be the true leader, the authentic leader of that team is somebody like Forrest. But for somebody that it's important to, whether it's DeVos or for Fonzie, maybe that's the way, not to placate the group or the player, but to just acknowledge that by giving the armband to this player, players and their natural qualities, whether they're empaths, whether they work well with smaller groups, giving the pregame speech, doing the off-field stuff. Like, we know that Alistair Johnson chips in a whole lot, Sam Piette as well, when it comes to like that, not necessarily the council, but when you're dealing with CBAs and you're dealing with all of the off-field management and building that culture, it's a shared responsibility. So you allow players to shine in the way that they can, given their personalities and their character. And the players know, to Jimmy's point and to Forrest's point, like who the real leaders are or who manages specific issues best. And that's a sign, I think, of a healthy locker room. So maybe Marsh now, he's just got his finger on the pulse and he knows this is really important to Fonzie. Let's give it to him. And then he's going to be supported and held up by the types of players and personalities and the quality in the humans, in the people and their emotional intelligence around him, so that this thing keeps kind of chugging along the way that it should and moving towards 26, if that's their long-term goal. And then in this tournament, we have designated roles so that we can have success on the pitch.
There's a link at Lennox C on Twitter. Why does it matter to fans with this decision? Are we in the locker room? Are we seeing what his teammates see, or are fans projecting their views of what a captain should be like? Yes. So to he your might. Point, Dobbs and Jimmy, he's like bang on. I think that encapsulates the feeling. The only thing that's odd, though, is the vice captain role, which I'm sure Sharns was going to jump to, too. But what does that mean? I know I'm new to the sport. Is that a new role? Is that a new captaincy? I've never heard of that.
No, it's not unheard of.
Okay.
It's not unheard of. So
but not, said, it's not Fonzie, frequent.
If Fonzie's injured or gets taken off, okay, or he's not playing, then Stacchio takes the armband.
And you've seen that, Wonger, whether you're watching the Euros or you're watching MLS, right? When somebody gets substituted, it's almost an unofficial changing of the guard where the armband is slipped off and it's given to specific people.
Yeah, I just didn't realize that was a nominated, hey, if someone goes off, you're the next guy in line. I didn't know that was something that is done and automatically done, and everyone is another thing to worry about or to appease the locker room to make sure it's the right second guy also, right?
For sure. Well, it's like a sergeant in the army, right? They are often the leaders, the true leaders, right? Mm-hmm. Behind the lines, the sergeants are the leaders. You have the lieutenants and captains, you know, calling the shots, but those guys have the boys behind them, right? And I've watched a lot trackers. Of war movies. The mud trackers, yeah. I've watched too many war movies, so I know how important the sergeant is. But it seems to me, though, that, you know, you have the perfect captain. There are great leaders out there, right, who did the job on every facet. They were the best player. They had the players behind them. They would bleed for their teammates. There would be that great conduit between the coach. There are those guys, but not many. In fairness, most captains have flaws, I would think, and perhaps more now than ever before, because they are being given to the brand, the person that can be sold. And I think this is a big thing, too. And this isn't to criticize Fonzie as a leader. I don't know. I have no clue. But he is the face of the team. And they brought in Jesse Marsh partly because he's got a decent brand to sell around the World Cup as well. And I think that's a part of it. Stephen Eustachio has proven to be a good leader. Although he's coming up a troubled season, in fairness, maybe he should just focus about his football. I don't know. But Fonzie is going to be that face in all the billboards up until 2026, right? And to say that here's our captain from a marketing company, and they have them out there employed to pump this World Cup's tires, they're going to really jump all over that, right? I'm sure it was a factor. And yeah, I'm sure there was a group, Jimmy. I'm sure they had conversations. And if he couldn't handle it, he wouldn't have been given it. But I wonder what percentage is, well, Fonzie's got the great smile. He gives a good quote. Everyone loves him inside and outside that room. Kind of fits beautifully here, doesn't he?
Should it have been sponsored?
Yeah, it should have been. It shouldn't be Captain Canada. It should be Captain brought to you by BMO or whoever it is.
The BMO's Bundesliga captain of the national team.
Yeah. Well, do you think the fact that he's going to be off to Real Madrid by the looks of things at some point this summer? Canada captain, right? That's going to make the headlines around the world, right? Real Madrid, biggest club in the world. They signed Canada's captain. No one cares about Canada's captain outside Canada. They just don't. Don't give a shit. But it means a lot to Canada. And when they're now associated with Real Madrid, I mean, they should be right now with Bayern Munich, quite frankly, but let's be honest. The average sports fan doesn't know much about Bayern Munich. Soccer fan does, but everyone knows, or has heard of at least, Real Madrid.
Is he just Canada captain, or is it MLS Canada captain?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's the thing. It could be MLS, couldn't it? Could be. We're going to find out. It was just a press release, right? It wasn't a big press conference with frills, you know, and fireworks. It was just a little press release announcing it. Do you think it's important for the individual? Is it important, though, for his teammates? Who is captain? You mentioned there how the Canada room wasn't very happy when Craig lost that captaincy to Jason DeVos. So the room does care, right? Who is their visual optical leader? No?
Yeah, I think it's the way that it was handled. That's what annoyed everybody.
Okay.
They were so annoyed they won the Gold Cup.
Yeah. Did a terrible job.
We should get annoyed more often in the Canada dressing rooms. Olympic gold medals, gold cups.
We just did this World Cup qualifications.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
One of the biggest things I ever encountered with a captain would have been at Ipswich and some of the older players. So I was young, and to see how the captains held themselves, and when the kit man's got gear to be shifted and he needs help, it's not just about this group of players, it's about the staff, and somebody needs help. And it might be the kit man, might be the coach, might be the assistant. And they go ahead and they call the young lads in and go, listen, hey, he needs some help. Get the fuck over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sort of these sort of things, not even just so much on the field and what's happening tactically. It's what happens, how you hold yourself off it. And if a star player can go and carry a bunch of balls to the training ground, those types of things go an awful long way for players to learn how to handle themselves, because you lose that a little bit. I think we had it, Jimmy, with the YTS, youth training scheme that was kind of a slave kind of program, but it taught us discipline, that you haven't done anything yet, and until you do, you're going to keep cleaning the shitters and the boots and the toilets and the bathtubs and everything else until you have the right to play and talk to the first team. You don't talk to the first team unless they talk to you. These types of things, it's a real evolution and sort of a education for players to go through that, and hopefully you learn a lot from the right people. And guys like John Wark, old Scottish guy at Liverpool and Ipswich, was fantastic at that.
Yeah. You're right, though, because, you know, when I look back at when I was younger, and you went through it as well with the YTS, you learned your trade. You were doing an apprenticeship. It was no different than, you know, working with a master electrician or a master plumber, and they've got their apprentices that are there, and they've got to get the tools. They clean the tools. They go get the coffees. You learn your trade, you respect your role, and then you move up the ladder. And there was no different from us being YTs, where we had to learn our trade, respect the game, respect the older guys. And then eventually you got into that first team. And then you got given your YTS, and you did the exact same. You gave them your boots, you went and cleaned it, did your laundry, got your coffee. And it was just a role that everybody that played it to understand what your steps were to be a professional footballer. And I think when I look back and think the captains that really stood out, I mean, Desi Walker was the captain with me at Forest. And to go back to what Stacks was saying about an individual that would help take Kit off the bus or help clean up a dressing room, Desi was like that. So we learned off of him, who was an absolute icon and legend in football. And mm-hmm. to see a man at his stature and what he did for England and in the professional game, to learn off of him and see how humble he was, but still wore that armband and represented all of us. And, you know, he was a guy that brought the dressing room together. And regardless what we did on the pitch, off the pitch, he was mm-hmm. the first guy saying, right, guys, you know, we've had a couple of losses. Let's go. We're going out for dinner tonight. The whole team's out tonight. We're going out. We're going to go to this restaurant. We're going to have a couple of beers. And, you know, he was just that leader that could sense a dressing room, what it needed. You know, do we need some time off? Do we need to get together as a group? Do we need to figure out what our next steps? So it's like he was the guy. So it is a role sometimes that is needed, but you've got to be respected in that role in order for you to be successful as a captain.
Well, that's a concern then, isn't it?
Your internet is choppy there, Sharms.
And muted.
And he's muted.
No, it's concerned though, right? Because Fonzie's been learning then off Manuel Neuer, captain of Bayern Munich. And as Craig's already mentioned, goalkeepers make shit captains. So that's
your joke. Problem, we could barely hear your joke.
And Milan Borjan before, a Canada. He's been learning, Fonzie's been learning to be a captain from goalkeepers.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
That doesn't bode well, does it, everyone?
Yeah.
I jest, obviously.
No, but there have been...
Does a goalkeeper need to be vocal? Do they have to be? I always hear, oh, no, he or she leads by example on the pitch. I always think it's a bit bullshit.
I'm going to say something here. And Sharms, I know what you're saying, but Forrest is being humble. He was a natural leader in the dressing room. Everybody looked up to Craig Forrest. And when he put on the armband and he led the team out, we were all behind him. We all had that respect for him because on the pitch, we knew what we were getting. We had one of the best goalkeepers in CONCACAF, probably the best goalkeeper in CONCACAF, and who had a great career at West Ham and Chelsea. So everybody looked up to him off the pitch. He was the first guy that wanted to go out and say, guys, let's go. We're going to go have a good time. We'd have fun. We'll do this. But when it was come time to training and playing games, he was professional. He was on it. And he set the standard. So, yeah, he was a goalkeeper, but it didn't matter because it was the individual who everybody respected and what he brought to the table. That's why he was the captain.
Yeah, this setting the standard part is so important. So I think that's what's going to be key for Fonzie, is recognizing how much power he wields and how influential he can be. And going back to Forrest's point and yours, Jimmy, about going through that program where you understand your role, but that everybody has a hand in elevating that standard and setting that standard. And so for Fonzie, I think it's showing the youth, showing the other players who are stalwarts on the team, leaders in their own regard, but that a player of his standing, global superstar, that even when the cameras aren't on, even when he's not in front of the microphones, that he's conducting himself and holding himself to that high standard. Because he absolutely can make things tick by showing people on a bad day when we're up against it collectively as a team, or I'm having a crap game or going through a bad spell, that I'm still going to show up and be the same kind of leader. Like I've been doing a bunch of talks this week as part of Women's Soccer Week for CF Montreal. And one of the points I always hit is, how good can you be on a bad day? Like, are you still the same leader? Are you still the same player? Are you still the same person? And that applies to the way that you speak to staff, the way that you speak to anybody you come up against, or as an opponent, or checking into a hotel, that everybody is accorded the same amount of respect. And then how much that is imbued into the team coming from that type of person. So I think he right now, being named captain, really wields a tremendous amount of influence and power, but it has to be used properly. So I think the next days, like how they navigate this tournament and then the next couple of years, are going to be really telling to see where this team ends up and where Fonzie lands when we're kind of looking at him and looking at his legacy with Canada football.
Well, in Qatar, he snubbed the media. Remember that? Didn't go down well at all. Now part of that can be blamed and thrown at Canada Soccer for allowing that to happen. But let's not forget, that wasn't long ago. on the biggest stage possible when you want to hear from the best player, he wasn't available to a lot of outlets. So he could have matured by then. There's different people there at Canada Soccer now. Let's not hold him to that. But yeah, let's find out. Because like I said, whether he or Canada Soccer like it or not, with that role comes a responsibility. Like you said, they're dubs. And that is being front-facing to the fans and to the media in all situations. It's really interesting. Got some comments here. Nameless dude wrote, although I feel Fonzie has the makings of an excellent leader in the future, he has to learn now. I disagree 100% about the role. It's critical. And as a player, you often look to the captain. And as a captain, leadership carries extra meaning. Albert, my boy Albert Vartanian, Birdie, the armband has a new meaning now, and I think Marsh had to give it to him. If he gets Davis's trust, the rest will likely follow. Plus, not giving it to him could lead to a situation like Couture, Belgium, where a player feels unappreciated and falls out with the team. Which, by the way, is such a bullshit move by Couture. I'm sorry. You don't play for your country at a Copa because at Euros because you're unhappy with the captaincy? Again, goalkeeper. Sorry. Sorry, Greg. Shit, aren't they? They're a whole lot of baggage, eh? Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Paul says, string performances at the international level will do a lot to give him some negotiating options and leverage with Real Madrid. His relationship with Bayern has been strained for over a year now. He seems like a change of scenery candidate, but the market for him isn't what it used to be. Yeah, that was talking about how this might help his leveraging a move to Real Madrid. I don't see Real Madrid caring one bit.
They don't give a shit.
Ancelotti gives a shit whether or not Alfonso is the captain, and that's going to be the final straw that brings him to Real Madrid.
Well, he's the captain of Carlo's future home when he retires to Vancouver.
Mm. What do you think? Ancelotti saw that tweet come out saying Alfonso Davies is the captain of Canada, and he went, "Oh fuck, sign him! Get him now! Now we have to sign him." Doesn't mean
well, on that right? So Real Madrid, right? You means. As it is right now, he's on a different level to every other player in Canada, right? As far as who he plays for. The spotlight he's under, Bayern Munich. He goes to Real Madrid.
The money he makes.
Yeah, right. So he's operating in a different stratosphere to every other player until John David maybe gets a move, say, to a huge club. But he is there right now. Is that important here? Can his teammates really relate to Fonzie, Craig? And is that important for a captain to be relatable?
What, with Real Madrid?
Yeah, no, with his teammates. I mean, he's going to be in the room and these guys looking up to him to, you know, lead them as a captain, apparently. And he plays Real Madrid, right? They're not. Yeah. Some of those players aren't going to be able to relate so well, and he won't be able to relate to them so well. Is that any factor at all?
No, not at all. And him going to Real Madrid has more to do with whether he goes on a free or not, or whether they wait to the end of his contract and go for him at a free transfer at the end of next season. I think that has more to do with it. Nothing to do with him being a captain of Canada.
Right.
It doesn't matter. They know what he brings on the pitch, and that's what they're after.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the naming of, sort of shifting gears a little bit, of Fonzie as captain is more about Jesse Marsh putting his stamp on this team than it is about naming the right captain and the timing of it prior to Copa America?
As opposed to naming Eustáquio captain, or just in general having a captain, his captain?
I mean, to my first point about, I don't know why he was in a hurry to do it prior to Copa. I mean, you can make arguments for it that you want to go into a tournament, you want to have your kind of penciled in captain, and so your leadership group said, and then like that just one more thing, kind of one more box ticked, right? But I mean, I think there's more pros to waiting it out and seeing who emerges. But that, you know, part of Jesse Marsh coming in, new style of play, adding a captain to that maybe helps him feel like he's got his footing and his bearings a little bit more as head coach.
Yeah, good point. I mean, that is possible, and the fact that he actually announced it, because a lot of times you might have to ask at a press conference, hey, who's your captain going to be? You know?
Yeah.
And they don't really make it as public as he did.
Well, I think he's got to name a captain for these games, right? In some regard. You can't rotate, I wouldn't think, through Copa America, right, Jimmy? You can't say, okay, Fonzie, you got Argentina. Stefan, you got Peru.
Well, you could if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Or you could say for this tournament, it's going to be Fonzie for Copa, but that we still have a group of leaders and we'll mm-hmm. see who the official captain is going to be in, you know, over the next year. But that Copa is Fonzie's, right? I mean, there are a myriad of ways to have approached it.
Maybe it's a case of Canada Soccer and Jesse Marsh just wanting to present that they've got their shit together finally. And every level from the captaincy to, you know, they've got leadership above the team.
Yeah, there's a lot of check boxes.
It's clean and tidy this way, right?
Mm-hmm. For Jesse Marsh, for Canada Soccer, for all of us to say, okay, for fans to go, the face of Canada Soccer is going to be number one, Alfonso Davies, number two, Stefan Eustáquio. And we now know who the face of Canada Soccer is. And let's be honest, it's been a nebulous kind of, we've been talking more about Canada Soccer as a administrative conclave. Thank you very much. than we have with the players. Let's be honest. It's a bureaucracy. Like the drama has mm-hmm. overtaken who these players are. So I think to Dub's point, this does allow you to get three check marks right away where nothing he has to worry about anymore.
But also internally for the players too, it could be a weight off instead of, you know, dealing game per game. And if you're the right person, I think again, to Jimmy and Forrest's point, I completely agree. It didn't change my game. It doesn't change who you are as a player or a person, whether you have that armband or not. But I think the recognition that it was important to Fonzie, he gets it. And then just it's done and dusted. And then everybody can move on from it. And then they can address other things on a day-to-day basis and on match day. Right. It's not, okay, we're going to name the starting 11 the night before or 2 days before, whatever it is internally. And then also the captain for this game is. It's just one less thing to kind of upset the apple cart as they approach the preparation for these important matches.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably exactly what it is, actually. Just now there's no questions inside the room or outside the room. This is it. Let's see. Sink or swim. See how it works out. He's going to be around for, you hope, the next decade as Canada's either his left back or left wing back or winger up top, center forward, goalkeeper. He's going to be there for a long time. How it evolves.
Yeah, but I wonder how his goalkeeping skills are.
Probably pretty good, actually. Very springy.
I bet he's fast.
Yeah, I bet he's fast. Yeah, yeah.
Good vertical.
Well, listen, the reaction he got on Twitter and social media, I mean, that speaks for itself. It's interesting. It's great that we have this dialogue now, I think. And it just sets up a really great tournament. And listen, we I won't confirm it just yet, but we're hoping to have a couple of pretty important guests on Wednesday's Footy Prime, the podcast. On your social channels and podcast feeds. So thanks, everyone.
Exciting times.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks to this, everyone. Really enjoyed this.
We'll give us some support, time, too. Give us some like support. Like follow,
subscribe,
it,
you know, and reviews, and throw questions up there. We'll get to them all over the course.
We love your comments. We'll love your comments on YouTube.
We do. Thanks so much, everyone. Cheers for listening and watching.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig and visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show.